And I'm Amber.
And this is
Waking Up the Witch.
We're your neighborhood witches. Each week, we talk about all things witchy and connect with other humans in a storytelling format about navigating life on this floating rock.
We're two curious ladies trying to understand the human experience. But while we do that, we think it's important to honor the people that lived here before us and honor the cultures and traditions that we're being inspired by.
This podcast is about waking up the witch, which means we are learning and growing every day. That being said, we are always open to feedback on how we can do better.
The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Waking Up the Witch.
Now, let's go, ghouls!
Hey, Amber.
Hey, Taylor.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. We are backtracking to record this intro a week late, so we don't have a ton to catch up on in this episode. We just wanted to say hi, and our guest was so fucking interesting that we have to make it a two-parter. So we will release this part now, and then we'll interview her in a few weeks, and we'll kind of get down to the nitty-gritty about her offerings, and we'll go into all of that then.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. She, yeah, had a very fascinating life, and really, I just feel so, what the fuck's the word I'm looking for? That's what we do when we record at 8:30 at night, or 9.
After watching Taylor Swift Eras.
I've just been watching the Eras tour.
With the baby.
Just inspired by her story.
Mm-hmm.
Because her whole thing is about owning your authenticity, and
literally the name of her business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful and beautiful, and has really been like a big theme for me lately, and something I've really been trying to encourage the people that I work with to really step into. So it was just felt like right on time. I've been wanting to interview her since the start of this podcast, so it's very exciting that we finally got to talk to her, and I cannot wait to have part two and really just like deep dive a whole episode on astrology and human design and numerology and whatever other magic that's like online for her right now.
So what do you think are some things that have helped you to be authentically yourself?
That's a good question. Like, I feel like it takes little bits at a time. Like, you don't just, well, for me, I didn't just wake up one day and was like, okay, I'm going to be fully authentic. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what is my authentic self completely. And I feel like, especially being witchy and having like that religious family background, that was kind of a big step for me. It was like owning that part of myself. And slowly starting to share little things on social media that resonated with me around that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of scary when your whole family is following you and you're putting yourself out there a little bit.
But I think even to reflect on where we were when we started this podcast, we're both so different.
Totally. We've grown
just
so
as
much.
People.
Yeah. I think it's, you just have to do like one little thing at a time, and it can be really scary. But the more you do it and you put yourself out there, you get validated by the people. Like, there were so many people in my life who were like, I always knew this was a part of you, and it looks so good on you now that you're starting to show up that way. And I'm sure that there's some people who were like, oh, she's kind of kooky crazy.
What are you still afraid of?
What am I still afraid of? That's a good question. I feel like there's still so many layers of me that have yet to be discovered, and I don't really know what's holding me back fully.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm starting to express myself more, especially recently, in recent months. Like, things have felt like a chore for me. Like, I have this version of, like, getting all cute and feeling myself. Mm-hmm. And it takes work to do that. And like, I much prefer to be in leggings and a sweatshirt.
Balance.
And that's something like I was given permission. Like, you can have both, like this outdoorsy, naturey, cozy girl vibe.
Athleisure.
And you can also be like whatever other dressy, glittery, magical version of yourself. They, like, totally. They both can exist. Yeah. You don't have to be one or the other.
Show up to work literally covered in glitter with rhinestones on my face, yes, wearing a very insane outfit, and then I'll show up to work in an oversized t-shirt and like biker shorts.
Yeah.
So it's just like, totally, how you feel like showing up in the world that day.
Totally.
And sometimes you want to be flashy and sometimes you, mm-hmm, like, don't look at me.
Totally.
And I think that also sometimes it's the energy thing.
Yeah.
Or where you're at in your cycle. There's, yeah, like so 100%. Many layers.
I think just really like discovering your internal authenticity is like step one. Like, if you find yourself not really sure what authenticity looks like for you, start to get curious about what's going on the inside, because the outside is kind of the fun, easy part, other than like people are going to look at you a little differently, maybe, you know, like you're going to kind of stick out a little differently if you just show up completely different on the physical level. But that's the really easy part to do. Like, if I know I want to be glittery, like I could put a lot of glitter and color on.
Yeah. And I also think, to backtrack to that, like sometimes if you don't feel good, it's like nice to dress yourself up
so much. That's been part of it for me.
Pump yourself up.
Especially coming out of like winter vibes. Like, if I put on some good music in the morning when I'm doing my chores, then that I just mm-hmm, kind of dance in my body. I'm automatically in a better mood, mm-hmm, and feeling more like myself just from that little shift. And that makes me want to like play. And that's the key word, is play. Like, not so much like I have to get dressed.
We talked about
how to do this. Like, I really am like, I get to play. Like, what do I want to play like today? What clothing outfit is going to feel most playful for me today? And it changes the whole fucking vibe.
I also just want to like take a moment to recognize how lucky you and I are to have the like career paths that we've fallen into or chosen. Like,
worked hard.
I get to wake up, go to work, genuinely enjoy myself,
mm-hmm,
have great conversation, be around amazing people, and just like have fun and play. And I get to be fully myself all day long and just like make genuine connections with other humans. And I think that most people will never have that. And I make good money doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so incredible. And I mean, even talking to some of my coworkers, like they'll have clients walk out and be like, oh, I fucking hate that bitch. And like, I don't.
You're good at choosing and attracting the right people.
I have got to a space where I genuinely enjoy 99% of the people I spend time with. I have one woman that I will probably not tolerate, but she spends like so much money. I don't know. But I don't know if it's worth
out of
it.
All
yet.
Your clients, yeah, like that's hundreds not of people. Bad. Not
yeah,
bad.
It's like
that's amazing.
And I feel like I actually like make connections and friendships with these people.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's you just, do. That's feels, why we're friends.
Yeah, I feel very, very lucky. Totally. And that allows me to be authentically myself.
Yeah, that gives you the creative space to play and show up as you every single day.
And I think we'll get into this like with next week's interview, but just kind of like as we get older, we kind of break down the stories that were told in our childhood.
Yes.
And that, and like get to reflect back on them and take yourself out of the situation and kind of realize like, oh, I'm not what I've been told. Yeah. And then I think that allows you to be more authentic as well.
Yeah. There's so many layers to it.
I also think that like being far away from my family allows me to be more authentic.
Totally.
Because sometimes when I go home, sorry if any of you are listening, but it's like super triggering, and then you're put in these roles that like you played in the past, mm-hmm. and it's just like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not who I am. I don't want that role. And like, you, none of you people know me. No, you don't know who I am now. So I don't know. I think it allows me to be whoever the fuck I want.
Well, I think that's part of like growing into your authentic true self is like, that was something, you know, I had a few people who were like, yes, we love this. We've been waiting for this. And there's probably a lot of people who silently stopped following or paying attention or doing anything because I wasn't necessarily their cup of tea. But it's
that's
like,
just not your people.
And I'm totally okay with that. Like, I have no qualms about it whatsoever. I definitely feel really grateful because it does help. It is scary to be like all these people who have known this version of me, but you know, it's cutting that people pleaser aspect and, you know, stop doing that so that you can really dive in more to who you are. I do really love too that she talks about doing like different personality tests. Like if you are just like, I don't even know where to begin. You know, that was where she started her self-discovery place, which I thought was really great.
I do think those tests can be ever-changing just depending on like your mood and how you answer questions.
Yeah. And
I've like listened to a science podcast about it. It's a good reflection tool.
So many different types too. And I say do them like every year or something, because you are always changing and growing as you begin to allow yourself to become more authentic. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's very powerful and potent. I think growing older naturally, just for most people, you stop caring what other people think as much.
But that's not always a good thing. I think it is, but it's like,
but if you're make a people pleaser and care and like hold yourself back,
I just
completely
think some older people I know, I'm like, you should do different. You should care a little what some people think because you're acting batshit crazy.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
But I agree.
Yeah.
Just like being able
just
to truly
stop
be yourself.
Doing things for other people.
Unless you suck, then don't be yourself. Try to be better.
We always want to be better. You definitely want to keep trying to be better. Yeah. But I think that also comes with self-discovery.
And like, by better, we mean kind and respectful to others in the planet, not like, oh, I'm better than you.
Yeah, 100%. Like I knew what you meant. I'm glad you clarified.
Yep. For anyone else.
Anyways, what about you on authenticity? Anything about yourself? How do you feel?
Well, I think like the people pleaser part, this is a weird thing that just like came to me, but like being thin is almost like a people pleaser thing, I think, for me, because you like you're just trying to like please the people around you by fitting into some certain stereotype or thing of beauty. I can't think of the right
beauty
word.
Beauty standard.
Yeah, some kind of beauty standard. And obviously I just had a baby, and so I'm in this new body, and I think I just don't give a shit. Like, we're exercising and I'm eating to fuel my body to make milk for my baby. But like, besides that, like, I'm just healthy and that's what it is. And I think that allows me to say fuck it and just be more authentically myself. And being moving away from a new, like from where I grew up and people that have known other versions of me. Like, we just were watching the Eras Tour and she's like, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. She's dead. And it's like, yeah, she's dead. And I'm here now. So I relate to that too.
And all those versions brought you to here today.
Yeah.
all my podcast eras. Host and badass curly girl,
yeah,
hair stylist,
ebook
magical
author.
mother.
Yeah. So I
think
hear the
owning
kind
of those parts of you is part of being authentic too.
I think so.
Yeah. But anyways, we hope that you love this episode as much as we loved recording it.
The season's going to be very raw and real, yeah. And we're off to a really good start. So we
totally
hope you enjoy.
Enjoy. Okay, just start to connect with your body and taking some subtle breaths in, awakening all the cells. Maybe moving your neck and shoulders to help release a little bit of tension. And let's take 3 deep grounding breaths together. Breathe in and exhale. Breathe in again and release. And one more great big breath in. Hold at the top. Or release. Just honor your body.
Sorry.
I threw that one on you. You're good. And release if you're still listening and holding. Just want to call in our higher selves and our spiritual teams and any beautiful, loving, vibrant energies that wish to be a part of this call with us. And all the higher selves of all those who discover this episode, allow for whatever is meant for the highest good of all concerned across all timelines and dimensions to flow through us today. In this beautiful conversation of owning our authenticity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I needed that so bad today. Hello, Eclipse. We are recording this on the spring 2024 full moon eclipse. So here we go. Welcome our beautiful, beautiful guest, Carly. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do and just dive into who you are and you're becoming. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, here we go. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Carly Wharton, and I am the founder of a community online called Owning Authenticity, primarily on YouTube. Lots of other socials. We'll get into that later. But my journey of really transitioning out of a place where I felt like I walked on eggshells, where I felt invisible, unseen, unheard, and the pain that goes along with that of feeling completely invalidated and finding out later that I mostly was doing that to myself, but you know, it took a while to be able to swallow that pill. Yeah, it's been a long road, but today getting to a point where I create safe spaces for myself and other people to be able to not only get to know their authentic self, but be able to start to live from the center of that place, which is not an easy thing to do. It is by no means an overnight process, and we'll talk about some of my milestones, it sounds like, as we get further into today's conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So start from the beginning when you were a child and, you know, what did that look like for you? How were you raised? What influences did you have? And, I just got back chills. That's like, we're on the right track. Oh. So just start from the beginning. Tell us about Carly.
Yes. So I grew up in a rural town in Kansas, very small religious town, and I am the oldest of 4 siblings. I have 3 younger brothers. and including my Irish twin, which means we were born in less than a year. Mm. So like at my first birthday party, my mom is holding her 1-month-old baby. Yeah, psycho. And no offense to anybody out there who's doing that, but it definitely created an environment.
Did she get pregnant on purpose?
No.
I have a 4-month-old and I'm so baby crazy right now and it doesn't make any sense. And I have to like tell my brain to shut up. I'm like, you literally have a baby. You don't need another one right now.
Oh my gosh.
Just wondering.
Yeah, no. I was sick and she was sick and she took us both to the doctor. I was about 6 weeks old and he comes back in there and he's like, well, she's got an ear infection. And you're pregnant.
Oh my God.
The front door.
So that was like the end of her maternity leave. I went to a daycare. She went back to work and she was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a wild ride.
So I'm the oldest and that was my first brother. Crazy. And then the next two were there by the time I was 4. So she had 4 kids in 4 years. Wow. And yeah, like... I can't even imagine it from her side. Yeah, you know, I have a hard time like even putting myself into her shoes. She had us two, like her oldest two kids when she was 29. I was born right after her 29th birthday and my brother was born right before she turned 30.
Dang.
So, I mean, just
crazy. Like,
imagine
have you
that.
Looked at it's her hard. Chart? That would be interesting. That's Saturn return. Like, where's that placement?
Yes. Her and my dad both have Saturn in Capricorn. And not only were they like launching their own business, but then they had 4 kids like right at that time. And it was like a big time to grow up. Here's 4 mountains of responsibilities. Yeah. Can you handle that? Can you carry that load? You've got no choice.
Wow.
So... yeah, just she's a very strong person, and I think a lot because she had to be, she had to become that. And yeah, it was a heavy load for her, no doubt about it. But that definitely shaped a lot of my childhood, like getting to be the baby for like 6 weeks. Gosh. And then she's on to the next one, you know, like. Yeah. And so I think about that a lot as far as a lot of the people that I end up working with are either the oldest child themselves or were otherwise parentified in some way as a child, meaning like had a lot of responsibility put on them at an early age because she needed help.
Hi.
Like she was right.
Me too.
At the retreat that we had just this last week, I was like, I'm just curious on video, like raise your hand if you're the oldest child in 3/4 of the room.
I'm the oldest as well.
Waved at me. Yeah. So like I attract a lot of that, of the people who feel like overly responsible because of that early childhood experience.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of times, like when we're drawn to the healing arts, the people that we're here to heal, they got a lot of the same stuff going on that we personally have walked through.
That's why we're able to hold them, because we truly understand what they're going through. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So that is a big part of my journey, I would say, as far as like being there for my brothers and having to, maybe not having to, but definitely feeling like I grew up really quickly. Yeah. I like to joke that I'm like Benjamin Button. I was like born an old person and I get younger as I go along. I'm like in my childhood at this point, right? At 35 and was kind of an old lady as a 5-year-old. So yeah, that was definitely a big part of it, being part of a big family. And I would say that definitely started the beginning of feeling invisible, feeling like my needs weren't allowed to take up very much space, that other people's needs were more important, more pressing. You know, you're the oldest, you should know better, that kind of mentality. So yeah, like starting off there, and that led me onto my path of being a chronic overachiever and pushing myself to do all the things, get the best grades, do the sports, have a job, get the scholarships, do this, all the things. And that led to like my first anxiety attack starting when I was like 15. Like I started struggling with depression and anxiety even before that, but my mom took me to the doctor for the first time when I was 15 and started trying to figure out like what medicine, what pill is going to make her better. And it's like he was telling me, he's like, I really don't think you need medicine. I think you need like two less things on your plate. You know, I think you need to like give up the sport or give up the job or give up the extra class that you're taking. And I'm like, no, I need all of it. And I like freaked out on him right there in the office. And so, yeah, like that was the beginning of like my workaholic.
Just give me the bell.
Tendencies. give me something that can take the edge off and
so that I can
let me continue. Hold it all. Right. Like, let me continue over functioning because that's where my self-worth is coming from, is being able to juggle all this. Look at how good I am at juggling all the things.
Wow.
And it's like killing me simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was childhood, and I had a, you know, good times.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks.
It definitely is a lot funnier now
than it was at the time. Hindsight.
Right. Yeah. It lightens the mood on lots
it's
of things.
It's good to laugh at our trauma.
Eventually, yeah, it's medicinal. So yeah, the overachiever thing continued to trying to do my undergrad in 3 years. That was the second time my workaholic nature tried to kill me, take me off the planet. Wow. I did it, but again, it almost didn't work out for me, but that didn't stop me from then going on to grad school and being very much the same way. And then getting a job at a software company in Texas. I had grown up in Kansas. So moved to Texas and got a job and continued the workaholic tendencies. And that's the next time that it tried to like wake me up out of that. And that was where it finally happened as far as like, I can't keep being like this. Like there's a common denominator here. As the picture keeps changing, as the surroundings keep changing, I'm the common denominator in all of this. And like, I think it's coming from inside of me.
Wow.
I think, right? I feel like a lot of people have that moment on their journey.
Recall
where
is
they
coming
realize,
from inside
like,
the house.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, it's me. Wait, no. I thought it was them. I thought it was my boss. I thought it was actually that was like
it's
the real
like,
moment of confidence.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
I'm the one you've been looking for. Yeah, for real. And what a hard pill to swallow.
Keep it coming. You're on fire today.
Love it.
Yeah. Yes.
How old were you
when
this like started?
Yes.
When
you
started?
Like moved to Texas and you started your software company job.
So I was like 20, almost 23 when I moved to Texas.
That's still so young to like have achieved all these things and like start this career. And
yeah, I mean, and I felt behind, which was why I was like racing to catch up is what I was mentally doing. And when I look back on it now, I'm like, what are you thinking? But yeah, when I heard a quote the other day that said, like, when you're in your jar, it's really hard to read your own label.
Oh my God.
And that is very much where I was, of like totally blind, like almost delusional on how far ahead I really was. And like, just couldn't see it.
Gosh.
Like I still felt like a failure, like had no self-esteem. Like it was wild. So a few years into the software company, I actually got engaged, and that flipped this switch with my guy's mom. So my would have been mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And she became really possessive, really clingy, and
to
was
you
wanting
or to
me
him?
To like call her. Both, but she had always been like that towards him. And I looked at it like, wow, that's weird. But then when we got engaged, she started like sending out the vibes my way also. And yeah, like the straw that broke the camel's back was she called him crying, and she's like, I just don't understand why she can't call me on her way home from work. And I had a 30-minute drive, so technically I guess I had time, but
that's you time. Super introverted.
Exactly. I'm like, I survived another day at my job that like sucks the life out of my body. And when I'm on my way home, I'm like trying to like put some energy back into my body. So I'm not going to do that. And it's not personal for you. But she was so upset, and I hate to see anybody in pain. And so I think to myself, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write her an email, and I'm going to explain to her why that's just not who I am. And I open up this email like full of life, full of self-permission to like tell her all the things and like make her understand. And I couldn't write anything. And I say that was the beginning. So this would have been February 2015. That was the beginning of my self-awareness journey of realizing like I don't really understand myself. I don't really know myself well enough to explain it to her. And I can't explain it to her because I don't know. So that led me to, I would say, like my very first spiritual practice of trying to sort out who the hell I am. And I started that on Pinterest, and I made a Pinterest board called INTJ Female, which is like my Myers-Briggs type, and started with pinning INTJ things that if I felt like it resonated with me, let me put it on there. I ended up with like thousands of pins on that board. And I feel like if you look at it from the very beginning to like maybe 2 years later when I stopped pinning on it, you can see so much of my evolution of like growing out of a like a cranky, angry, people hating, like just like a drained introvert, basically, like a mad at the world, not having enough of my own alone time, to I am so full of love. I love life. I love this life. I love how unique I am. I love this about, like, it just was such a transformation to the point where now when I tell people I'm an INTJ, they usually argue with me and tell me, no, I'm not. Think, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Do you think like having a personality type like label kind of gave you more like freedom to be that person, and like knowing that that was like normal that you were like that?
Yes. I think in that instance, especially where INTJ females are like 1% of the female population, and reading the strengths and weaknesses was I still remember vividly that experience, because the weaknesses, I was like, yep. See, you suck. Like, you got all that
evidence.
I knew about exactly. I knew about every single one of those weaknesses. And then I got to the strengths part, and I'm like, I had never looked at it like that. I had never seen it from that angle. And like, that was the first time where I felt like my differences were a blessing. Like, they're a good thing.
That was the permission.
There's positive.
So yeah, the evidence of the weakness and the permission for the strength. I love that.
Of course.
Yes.
We know what the Myers-Briggs test is, but this is waking up the witch, and a lot of people are just learning new things and maybe don't know what that is. So what is Myers-Briggs, and then what does INTJ stand for?
Yeah. So I'm not an expert by any means, but it's a Myers-Briggs. Yes. There are 16 different personality types, and there are four different factors where it's trying to figure out what do you prefer? So the idea that I really liked with Myers-Briggs is that on these four spectrums, we're all of them. So like the first spectrum is introvert, extrovert. Like, do you get energy by being around other people, or do you get energy by being with yourself? And we are all some level of both of those things. And even down to somebody right in the middle is what you might call an ambivert. Like, you can get energy with people. You like to be alone. You kind of got an even mix. And so I really like the website 16personalities.com. Very colorful report, very in-depth report. And so I'm an INTJ. That stands for introverted, intuitive, thinking, and judging. And that's where, like first of all, intuitive is that second spectrum where like there's intuitive and sensing. And something like 75% of humans are sensors. So if you're an intuitive, if you have an N in your type, you're automatically part of the 25% minority. Wow. And so that's where like you start whittling it down into like just how rare is your type. And the more rare your type is, that just means the less likely you are to encounter another one of those out in the mm-hmm. wild. And so like I had just never met another person like me. And so here I am thinking like I'm an alien yeah. and broken and just weird and have to like put my mask on and fit in.
Well, and interesting, this is popping in my mind that you were like growing up and going to school and having to be like this put in a box overachiever, like the thing that, you know, I want my kid to grow up and go to college and be super successful. And like, you're like, great, I'll try to be that for you. I'm going to stand in your box and see if I can do it. So that's also kind of interesting that you are so divinely unique and originally yeah. starting on a path that is like the one that everyone sees with their white picket fence, you know? So I yeah. don't know, that just came through yeah. to reflect back to you of like how much growth that probably brought you to being more authentic.
Yeah. Well, and that actually reminds me of like one of the common, I don't know about like complaint, but like criticisms of a type or a test like Myers-Briggs is that like, it doesn't really mean anything because I can just tell the test different things and like get a different response. I can like yeah, manipulate the true. Test or my type has changed. I used to I be this and now that. I'm this. Yeah.
If like your personality and, type can change.
And I think yes and no, like something is happening that is changing. That's a fact because the test is reflecting it to you. But is it that your personality, like the core of your true self has mm. changed? Or is it how aware yes. you are of what is true for you versus who you're supposed to be? Mm. Like, I think it's far more that we accept ourselves more. And so we're more honest with the test as we get older. So like, for example, at our company, they had like, that's where I took it was for mm. work. They put us through this little seminar or whatever, which was very cool of them. But there was like 90 some percent J's, which is like judging or perceiving. And it's like, do you prefer a plan or do you want to be spontaneous and like kind of go with the flow? Mm-hmm. And at the company, it's like, well, we have 95% judgers. And it's like, do we yeah. or do we all just know that that's what you want from us?
Accordingly.
That's how we have to yeah. be. Right. We're not allowed to be spontaneous. We're not allowed to go with the flow. You need calendar invites and confirmations and recap emails. And like you are creating mm-hmm. the structure. Mm. So I think like it really depends on the frame of mind that you're coming from. And the test is just a mirror.
That reminds me.
And so is your self-acceptance.
I totally forgot. Sorry. I just had this like unlocked memory of, so I used to work for Whole Foods for like 14 years. In store and also like for their coffee company and the offices. So like I was there forever. It's been forever since I've interviewed, but they, in order to apply, you had to take a personality test. And that was like part of the application process so that they can see like, what kind of worker bee will you be? And I thought it was like so cool. And now I can see how, you know, I don't even know the words I'm looking for, but it's just like a part of that corporate whole of trying and, you know, you're answering based on how am I going to get this job too? So like, how are exactly. you really, what actually is your personality exactly. type? So that is interesting. It's cool that a work would provide something like that, but it's also kind of manipulative.
Well, and they did it like after the fact. So like you're already working yeah. there. This is to help you kind of get to know That's yourself cool. better. But I agree, like, especially when you're taking it on the front yeah. end, you're every question you see, you're going to answer it say? Through the lens of like, what are they looking totally. For? I'll be whatever you totally. Want me to be.
I really
you
want know? This like, job.
I'm a chameleon. Right. And so you just fib. And people are right. Like you can totally manipulate the test. You lie to the test will lie back yeah. to you. Like that's yeah, real. Totally. But I will say that as I like absorbed everything that I possibly could about Myers-Briggs, I eventually got to the underlying theory that the two scientists that created Myers-Briggs, they based their research on cognitive functions, which was research by Carl Jung. And that, once you get deep enough into like, how is your brain wired? That doesn't change.
Okay, that's cool. So that's like so kind of really, unique to the Myers-Briggs.
Well, it would be like basically the 16 mm-hmm. types, like my INTJ type, for example, is telling me the top four functions, the top four cognitive functions that I prefer.
Okay.
That those are my preferences. That's how I feel the best. That's how I gain the most energy. That's how I make decisions. That's how I gather information.
Fascinating.
That's what I like. Yeah. And so that doesn't really change over time, you know, cool. unless we're aware or allowing ourselves to be more true to who we really yeah. are. And so, yeah, I really liked learning about that part of it because it opened me up into the unconscious mind. Mm. Like there's mm-hmm. the four functions that you prefer, and then there are the four functions that you do not prefer. Yeah. Those live in your shadow. That was like my introduction to the shadow self. I had never heard of anything mm-hmm. like that before. So all of that came from Myers-Briggs. And when I go to write the email to my mother-in-law and I realize I don't know myself, I had just like within the few months before that taken the Myers-Briggs, had the experience of reading strengths and weaknesses and started there of like INTJ on Pinterest yeah. and just like pulling down every little bit about myself that I could. Yes. Which I had never, not even that I hadn't done it before. I didn't care to do it. I didn't think it was yeah. valuable. I was like, so for yeah. what? Like, what does that get me? Who's going to give me a gold medal for that? Who's going to yeah. promote me for that? Like, nobody cares about that. I was looking for external rewards for anything. Yes. And nobody wanted to prize that. So I wasn't going to do it. And then it came time to like, try to make her stop crying. Like, I just want you to yeah. feel better. Literally and so crying? Still, yes. It's like, I mean, just wild to me because my mom is like not emotional hardly at all. And she was. Wow. She absolutely was. And so it was like being kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool. And so if you think about it, still my self-awareness journey started for external motivators. Yeah. Like I wanted her to feel
yeah.
better.
Wow. So
whatever gets you there, dude, like that's fine.
It's part of Embrace the journey. It.
Absolutely. So that was like my first self-awareness journey. Like that's where that began. And even at that point, like I still would have called myself atheist, I think mm-hmm. at that point, which was most of my life. Like that's how I resonated. And then it was like a year and a half after that. So in that time, I canceled the wedding to my fiance. It's like 6 weeks before we were supposed to get wow. married. And I just sat him down. And well, I didn't just sit him down. Actually, I was getting in my car after work one day and I closed my driver's side door and I just burst into tears, oh. which at that time, like crying is not something that I did. I thought I was a robot. And I'm like, why am I crying? I was so confused. And
you're just like bubbling over. You've just been holding in so much for so long that it's like, oh, you can't contain it any longer. And this is how we're going to release it.
Yes. And it was like maybe, you know, one banana, two banana, three banana. It was several seconds of crying without understanding what the fuck is going on. And then I hear this voice. And I'm talking like auditorily, like in my ears, I hear the voice say to me, you've got to cancel the wedding.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And I realized when I heard the voice say that, that I was crying because I was terrified and I knew the voice was right, that you've got to cancel the wedding. And I knew I was going to, and I did not want to. And so I was crying because I was like freaking scared.
You're gonna
it was like the scariest
people.
Thing I've ever done.
I'm sure that was part of it since you had the people pleaser, you know, instilled in
right? you. Right? I told him I would. And Like when I got to that point of like, I heard the voice and I realized like, I'm going to cancel the wedding. That's when I realized like, I've been having thoughts for months. Mm-hmm. Like hopefully we get divorced soon.
Oh my gosh.
So that I can like move on with my life.
Wow.
Like I was going to marry him and then hope that we just get divorced. Wow. Like who did I think was going to ask for the divorce? Like it was incredible to me how autopilot I was. Wow. Of like, he asked, I said, yes, we started planning the wedding. Like all of that happened so fast. And we had been engaged for maybe like 8 months at the point where I heard the voice and you've got to cancel the wedding. And so like, I called my therapist and saw her for 2 hours the next day. And right after that, I went home. And when he came home from work, I sat him down and told him like, I'm not breaking up with you, but we can't get married in six weeks. Like, that's not going to happen. And I'll never forget this. It blew my mind. It was like the best evidence, best confirmation ever. He like looked so shocked and confused. And he took a beat. And then he asked me, he's like, are you saying you're canceling the wedding? I was like, yes. And he just got up and he goes outside and he's outside for like 2 hours. Oh. And he comes back inside and he sits back down and he's like, looks just stricken, like just beside himself. And I'm like, see, this is what I was really scared of. I don't want to hurt him. What he said next was like, again, the best confirmation I could have asked for. What he said was, what are we going to tell people?
Oh, wow.
That's all he wanted to know. He didn't ask me why. He didn't try to convince me. Granted, I was pretty decided. Yeah. I mean, the voice had spoken. I was like, it was the ship had sailed. But still, he like, that's all he wanted to know was, what are we going to tell people?
That's almost like he was going through the motions too to please those around him that like, that, yeah, it wasn't for the right reasons for him either. Wow.
Yeah.
So many chills. Yeah.
I feel now looking back at it, like I can pretty easily say that it was kind of a musical chairs style relationship and engagement for both of us. Like we both felt like this is time. I'm at the age that I wanted to be at when I got married. And like, this is who I'm
another
with.
Achievement.
And this is what you do. And dude, I was checking those things off the list and kicking ass at it. And no, the voice was like, you can't think like this. Like, hopefully we get divorced within a year or two so I can move on with my, like, how about you just don't marry me?
Think about how many people though, like don't course correct and just like on.
I heard from them.
Yeah, that road and just go through the motions.
When I did that, like I could never have expected people's reactions to me because I thought they were going to be like, how dare you? And you gave your word and like all the things I had been telling myself in my head. Nobody said that, first of all. And second of all, I'm going to say there were probably about 10 different women, all women, who told me that they essentially had the same experience and they got married anyway. Mm. And they were in varying degrees of like one of them, the saddest one, she's like, I just knew in my gut that like, this is not right. I can't do this. And she did it anyway. And he started hitting her 2 weeks after the wedding. There was another one who was like drunk at the time she's telling me this, but she's just like, Carly, I never should have got married. I just shouldn't have done it. And like, she's just beside herself. Like, I mean, I became this person who like understands cold feet and did the thing that almost everybody in that situation, like as they get into it, as they see how the marriage really is, as they realize like, wow, like we're the same people as we were yesterday before we got married. Like the marriage didn't change anything, you know, like, and so many people voice their regrets to me. And it just, you know, I believe what's meant to happen is going to happen because almost all of those produce children. Mm-hmm. That like, if they had walked away from the marriage, there wouldn't have been those children were meant to exist. Totally. And so I think the people who go through with it, they were meant to go through with it. But in my case, it was just not the way it was supposed to go down.
I feel like it's something that like for generations, this is what people have done. And so,
you go through life thinking like, this is what life looks like. We go to school, we get the job, we get married, we have children, we retire, and then we die. And like, it's just been how life works and what we're all expected or hopeful of, even. And I just think for the case of like following through and getting married when you know in your gut it's not supposed to happen, I feel like probably so many of our grandparents had done that. And like you said, it is for a reason. Like, we wouldn't exist probably ourselves, like, if people didn't do that. But it's just something so ingrained. It's part of that generational healing that like you did in an act of like divine intervention where you're like, I can't do this, you know. And I'm sure many of your ancestors had done that and you have no idea about it because we don't talk about that kind of stuff, you know. But so that's kind of cool to think about in that context as well, of like what a curse you broke for your family.
Yeah.
By owning who you authentically are.
Yeah. I feel like it was obviously liberating for me and my fiance and just so many people around me that they were like, wait, that's an option. You know, like, we're allowed to do that. Like, wait, what? And I don't know, but I did. And so, you know, I want to emphasize the part where like I went and saw my therapist.
Yeah.
I Googled, how do you cancel a wedding? And step number one is, exactly, step number one, any guesses on what it is?
Go to therapy.
Tell the other person. So I added my own step number one. But still, I'm like, okay, that's smart. That's smart.
You know, there's a reason why that is on the list. Someone did it.
Yeah, so that was a huge turning point, right? I feel like everything that came after that was unplanned. And this whole getting engaged and canceling the wedding, that was like the very, very beginning of my Saturn return. Mm-hmm. So like, I literally got engaged within days of Saturn stepping into Sagittarius. My Saturn is at 29 degrees of Sagittarius, and it was like 2 days after Saturn got to 0 degrees Sagittarius that my fiance proposed. It was just like divinely timed. Like, Saturn return was going to give me something one way or the other. And I felt like by not going through with the wedding, it was like I cleared a level of karma and it opened up something like so much better than anything I could have imagined for my life, but it required that first. Ugh, so
crazy.
By no means do I think that was like a waste or anything. Like, I'm so glad I got engaged. I'm so glad I got to plan the wedding. I'm so glad I got to do all of that. It was a very expensive lesson, but
it happens.
Because 6 weeks before, they don't give you deposits back or anything
just
like that.
Just because you don't feel like getting married anymore.
Right. Yeah, they don't care. They're not as sympathetic as you might hope, but I got to understand myself. I got to like really know myself that much better. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what opened up after that, long story short on this part, but this is what led me to my next awakening. And this was really the spiritual awakening, was shortly after I ended my engagement, I hopped right into a new relationship. Okay. This was my pattern of the time, and really like since I was like 12, just hopping from one relationship to the next. And that relationship, I feel like, cracked me wide open. Mm. It was the most intense, most passionate, most like love I had ever felt, and most pain I had ever felt in a relationship. And I had suffered with jealousy with all of my partners, all of
you
my
were jealous or they were jealous?
I was like psycho a little bit.
It happens.
and we're all there at one point or
another.
Wait,
what are your big three?
I am a Gemini sun, Leo moon, Taurus rising. Okay. So So I have Scorpio descendant on my seventh house and Pluto and Scorpio also in my seventh house. So like to say I'm a little bit intense in relationships is like an understatement of the century. And I thought if they would just be different, I wouldn't feel this way. And come on, get your shit together. Like, don't be flirting like that. Don't talk to her. Like, don't talk to her, any girls ever, you know? And then we'll be okay. And so this...
I will pluck your eyes out.
Oh, my God. If looks could kill, I'd be gone away by now. So that relationship was really ragged for me because of how intensely I loved him, but at the same time, that just made the jealousy that much harder to handle. And we were on again, off again a lot. And it came to a bout of jealousy. It was like 3 months long of just like beside myself in pain at watching him have friends, whatever. And now I realize like this was my spiritual awakening. This was like what set me free was that intense pain. And it ended up, I was once again kind of staring into the abyss, thinking thoughts like, do I really want to be here? Is this really worth putting up with and the trouble? And I was kind of coming down on the side of, I'm not really sure that it is. And so he was cool in that he actually helped me to find a therapist that was there in the Dallas Metroplex. And I got in to see her like 2 days later. And she handed me something called the Deservability Treatment by Louise Hay. And it's a set of affirmations. It starts off with, I deserve all good, not some, not a little, but all good. And it goes on from there about you're not your parents, you're not their limiting beliefs or their thoughts and perceptions of you. I acknowledge them and I go beyond them. I mean, it kind of covers all the bases as far as like, what do you believe you're worth? And that therapist handing me the deservability treatment, it was like less than 5 minutes into my first session with her. she had my number pretty much immediately. And turns out, jealousy is basically a giant crater where your self-esteem should be. Mm-hmm. Like I had no self-esteem and like negative self-esteem, like self-hatred, self-loathing kind of feelings about myself. And so anytime I saw my partner like laughing or joking with a female friend of his, my instant thought was, of course, he's going to fall in love with them and he's going to leave me behind because why wouldn't he? Wow. And so like my jealousy was really the mirror of how little my worth was.
That makes sense.
And it was such a wake-up call. It was, again, like looking into like I'm the common denominator in this situation. Like every relationship I've ever had has ended with me being a jealous mess. And looking at that one and ending up in that therapist's office and being handed the deservability treatment, like it was finally time. Like I wasn't ready to see it in myself before, but at that point I was. And again, I think that was like a huge part of my Saturn return of like, you deserve to feel good about yourself.
Hell yeah.
You deserve to know that of course you're worthy. Of course, like the stories that you got told when you were little, that's not who you really are. Those were some people's opinions of you. That's not who you are. And so I started to like surgically separate my conditioning from my truth using the deservability treatment by Louise Hay, like starting to reprogram myself. So that was the beginning of my spiritual awakening. That was on a Friday after work that she handed me that. And the next morning, I woke up, like popped awake with the thought in my head, I am so fucking sick of living like that.
Hell yeah.
My depressed, up and down. I'm done. I'm done with that. And I devised a plan that said, I'm either going to figure out how to live a happy life, or if in 30 days I don't feel better, then I'll just be done. And I felt so good about
done
that.
Like
I got
what?
My plan and I got, living.
Okay, that's what I thought that you meant. I just wanted to clarify. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry I laughed. It was uncomfortable.
No, you're good. It felt so liberating.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to figure it out. Chills. I'm going to have relief either way. Either way, this is over. I'm not living this life anymore. And so I feel like I really reiterate that, because when you decide that it's going to be different, it will be. That morning of deciding that, I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to do self-care until I feel better. Like, I had some experience with doing daily self-care where I would do it for like 3 weeks. Every day I'd exercise or go for a walk or do a meditation or something like that. And I would always get to feeling better. And then once I felt better, I would stop doing the self-care.
Mm-hmm. Relatable.
And I call this the stutter start phase of your self-care journey, because almost everybody goes through something similar where once you feel better, you like stop taking the medicine. Mm-hmm. And so what was different on that Saturday, July 9th, 2016, was I decided that I'm never going to stop. I'm going to do self-care every day until the day I take my last breath, whether that's in 30 days or 100 years or whatever, like everyday lifestyle, I'll do this for myself. And yeah, that was almost 8 years ago. Wow. And I can't believe the life that I live now compared to waking up that morning in July of 2016. Like, it could not be more different. And so much has happened in those 8 years of like walking to where I am now. But right then that Saturday, I go looking for guided meditations, and I find this Morning Rampage video by some lady called Abraham Hicks. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why a lady's name was Abraham, but I was like, whatever, it sounds nice. And so I listened to that and found another of her like general well-being meditations where she's just like, all is well, inhale, exhale. Like, it wasn't anything fancy. It just felt nice to listen to. And so that was the beginning of, I listened to Abraham Hicks for like every single
day. Can you explain to people
probably 3 years
who that is and what her whole shtick is? Because that's very interesting.
Yeah. Love Abraham Hicks.
She saved my life. Wow. You know, like, I like to think about, it's kind of morbid, but like, I like to think about like, what if I hadn't found her that day?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, she walked me out of the darkness into the light. And the lady's name is actually Esther. Esther and Jerry were a couple. And back in the 80s, they, through meditation, figured out that Esther could channel what named itself Infinite Intelligence, also named itself Abraham. And so Abraham Hicks is basically Esther and Abraham's consciousness merged together into one entity. And she is a law of attraction teacher. And so what she's teaching is essentially everything that's going on in your life is attracted to you based on what's going on inside of you. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way I would create my reality to be this nasty mess. Like, no, there's no. So I instantly
reject.
Like, yes, yes, yes. And what she's really teaching you is how to begin to drive your emotional guidance system on purpose. Like, if something is making you feel bad, that's because your higher self, your inner being, doesn't agree with that. And if something is making you feel good or better, at least, like if there's relief in something, if there's satisfaction in something, that is like you getting hotter, hotter, hotter into merging with your inner being. The closer you are to your inner being, the better you'll feel. And the farther apart you are from who you really are, the worse you're going to feel. And so every time you feel bad, it's like us barking up the wrong tree. It's like another way to think about authenticity. Like, who are you really? And our emotions tell us. Our emotions are giving us clues every second of every day by the way we feel. And at that point, I felt like shit all the time. So I'm like, wait, you're telling me none of this is right? everything. Like, it's a total loss. Like, the job's got to go. The relationship's got to go. Like, my relationship with my family wasn't great. Like, my friendships were only okay. Like, I mean, almost nothing in my life was fun for me. And that's another thing that she really hits on, is like, follow your fun. And I'm like, who has time for fun? Like, there's no societal reward for being really good at having fun. You know, again, like, where's my external reward? So, like, that was my starting point, was like, I don't even know what's fun for me. So let me figure that out. Let me carve out time to try to figure out, like,
even as a kid, you weren't like playing and having fun. Like, you were.
Oh, definitely not.
Always business.
Especially being the oldest, yes, and having to like tend to the flock that has been birthed through, yes, your parents. It's rare for you to get to have that playtime too.
Yeah.
Or relax. I like to
read when I was. Right. I like to read when I was younger. And I did a little bit of that, but otherwise, yeah, I don't remember playing, yeah, very much. Sad. Like, a little bit with my brothers, but a lot of that was like, I'm keeping, yeah, them entertained, yeah, you know, like, it wasn't necessarily like, if I could do anything in the whole world that would bring me joy, yeah, right now, I'd be playing, yeah, you know, tunnel, yeah, tag.
What does, no, Carly want to do?
Right. I had no compass for that in myself. And so at 28, that was the beginning of me trying to figure out, like, what lights me up? What's fun for me? Mm. And so I dabbled in a lot of different things. And one of the pieces of advice that really helped, well, a couple pieces are coming to mind. I find this starting point is resonant with a lot of people who I attract, of like, I don't know what's fun for me. Where do I even start? Number one is, where do you lose track of time? Mm. Like, where do you forget that your phone even exists? Mm. You know, you like look up and it's 3 hours later. Like, that's a good sign that you were having fun because you didn't even think about checking to see what else is available. The second one is when you can't find fun or passion. Passion would be like even more intense fun. But like, when you can't find fun, look for something that's interesting. Like, interest is fun's younger cousin, mm, kind of thing. So like, if you can spend time in interest, you're gonna eventually get to your fun. So those are a couple pieces of advice that really helped me to begin to cultivate my fun and like make a bigger and bigger and bigger garden, to the point where now, I mean, I have a lifestyle of fun. Mm-hmm. If it's not fun, I'm not gonna do it.
Yes.
You know, period. Like, there's a belief that's pervasive in our culture that says, well, sometimes you got to do the things you hate. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Not anymore.
No, you really don't. No, that's a decision. That's a conscious choice. And if you're willing to tolerate things that you hate, then yes, you will have to, mm-hmm, do them. But all you got to do is don't tolerate it. And so, yeah.
I love anyways, fun.
I love fun too. Right? Big fan. Yeah. My Leo moon. Like, that's all I want to do is play and create and lose track of
your Sagittarius energy too is very much that. It's totally. Like, you can't be made to do shit that's not exciting or interesting for you. Like,
yeah,
good luck.
It's pretty soul sucking yeah, when I do tolerate that. And so, yeah, I feel like Abraham brought me to life through finding my fun, through figuring out that, like, you're not supposed to feel bad all the time. Like, that's not normal. And I had been depressed for like 15 years.
Wow.
And so to have permission to like kind of separate myself from the status quo, the hamster wheel that, like you were saying, like, you grow up, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, have kids, retire, and you die. Like, you don't have to do that. If it doesn't feel good to you, then find a different way. And that's really scary, mm-hmm, to kind of make your own path, but no less scary than you hate it so much you don't want to be, yeah, here. So I feel like that the opportunity cost was like, well, this is probably the easier way. So that started with listening to Abraham every day and doing the daily self-care for the rest of my life. And I also did mushrooms for the first time like 4 or 5 months after that. And like one of the things that Abrahams talks about is like your, when you get into your meditative state or like your high flying disc or whatever, like pay attention to the thoughts and ideas that are occurring to you, especially if they're occurring to you over and over and over again. And I want to do mushrooms was something that I had known for like my whole 20s, but the opportunity had never really presented itself. I had never really sought it out. I had this like fear around, what if you get caught? Yeah. What if it's bad? What if blah, blah, blah. And on my high flying disc, like it just kept coming. Like, I want to do mushrooms. I want to do mushrooms. I want to do mushrooms. And so it was the day before Thanksgiving, 2016. And I did a whole bunch of research. I talked to several people who had done it before and got their advice on like how to have a good trip. And I took mushrooms in my apartment by myself with my cat. She didn't take the mushrooms. She was just with me. And I did my first trip on my own in my apartment. And that was also the first time I ever didn't go home for a family holiday. Again, because Abraham is telling me, like, if it doesn't feel good, that's not your alignment. Like, you feel your way into what feels good to you. That let that be your guide. And so I told my mom I'm not coming. And she said, why? And I said, I'm not going to make the trip. And that was basically the end of that conversation. She didn't press. And so instead of going home for Thanksgiving, I took mushrooms in my apartment and then had a Friendsgiving the next day. And it was life-changing. I mean, it was like, there was no turning back after that. As far as like, I felt source was a new word, especially from like previously being atheist, but like Abraham Hicks calls like the infinite source energy, that like, that'd be another name for God or the universe, that like we all came from source energy. When we pass away, we're merging back into source energy. And I felt the love that source energy had for me in that trip. And I also had a spontaneous past life regression that gave me this like future vision of who I am and why I'm
while
here.
Tripping.
It was,
wow. Yes.
It was so funny because I actually am quite the little scientist. And so I was like taking notes of like the sensations I was feeling and what I was seeing and what I was all the things. And it was about 90 minutes into the trip. I had music playing and I could hear these drums, and it wasn't part of the track I was listening to. I've heard that song a lot of times and I'm like, this is different. Maybe my neighbor's playing music. And so I stopped the music I was playing so I could hear like, where are these drums coming from? And I put two and two together that this is like part of the hallucination, these drums. And I got the idea that I need to go into the dark. So I like take my pillows and my cat and I go in my closet and I shut the door. So it's like pitch black in there. And there was like this laser light show that started, and it was like all of these like just bright neon colors. And then all of a sudden I was in the middle of this drum circle and I was this Indian chief. I was a man. It was nighttime and they were all chanting around me. They were like using their energy to elevate me to the heavens so that I could receive this message on behalf of the tribe and deliver it to them. So that was like the past life regression of who I was. It was freaking awesome.
Amazing.
It was so powerful. And basically in feeling that and feeling like so, I mean, there was so much, like so loved, so supported, so respected, so cherished, and so needed and so valued. And that like my leadership position wasn't like I'm better than them. It was, I have this gift of connecting to the infinite, mm-hmm. and to bring through this message on behalf of this group. And they are contributing to my connectivity, my bandwidth to be able to pull this down for all of us. It was like a service that I was providing to them by being the leader.
Wow.
And so it just shifted like how I saw, I mean, I've always been very ambitious, always like wanted to be like CEO, like leading a big company, whatever. But I always had like this, you know, that's egotistical, that's self-centered, like it's self-aggrandizing, whatever. And this vision of, no, it's actually like a position of service to be the leader, to be the one who's willing to do that. And at the end of that vision, basically it showed me like, and that's who you are in this lifetime, is like, you are here to connect to the infinite and bring through messages and to allow yourself to be seen and rise up to this position of prominence so that others can see you for the good of the tribe. This isn't about you. It's about the good of the tribe. And this is just the role you're playing, the same as they're playing their role by helping to like amplify your connectivity. Mm. So all of that happened in my closet.
Amazing.
In this, like, little in my little studio apartment. I don't think I've ever told that entire story.
Amazing.
Especially not publicly. Yeah.
Well, and so. This is coming through too. I have a friend who had claimed CEO in a new spiritual kind of way and calling it creative energetic oracle. And so permission for you to be the CEO of your fucking life and allowing that connection to source energy to help uplift and create this magic in community and in collective energy. So you are CEO.
Yes. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
I love it too.
Creative.
Energetic.
What was
energetic?
The
Oracle. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's,
okay.
I think I had it on my website for a while. I don't know if I still have it on there anymore, but I was like, I'm going to claim that because I am a CEO.
Yeah.
We all get to be CEOs. And how do we contribute
that
to the collective in our creative, energetic way?
Yes. And like CEO was one of my rungs on my spiritual ladder that like I had to get to exercise whatever evolution I needed in this lifetime. But like, even before I was like officially a CEO for a company, I claimed like, I am the CEO of my life and of Carly Wharton Enterprises is what I, you know, that's my life. And I get to decide what it is that I want. And so after that trip, it was a short 2 weeks later when in my morning time, one morning, the thought came, I'm going to quit my job.
I was waiting for this. I'm like, when does this happen?
Yeah.
Hell,
so that was the day before Thanksgiving. And I believe it was December 9th of 2016 when I, once again, I Googled, how do you resign from a job? And it was
number
like, you turn in a resignation letter. Tell the other person. Yeah. Is pretty much the same process.
Imagine where you'd be without the internet. Married.
I don't know.
Same job.
I need help.
It's not encyclopedias.
Right? No. This is my straight up Gemini. Like, wait, I need some information here. How do you do that? So yeah, I downloaded a template resignation letter. I filled it out. I emailed my boss. And like 2 hours after I had that download, I'm sitting in a conference room and giving her my resignation letter. They only kept me a couple days. And it was like within that same week that I'm doing my exit interview. And that's my last day.
Wow.
So it all happened pretty fast. I mean, that was less than 6 months mm-hmm. from the being handed the deservability treatment to doing the mushrooms to quitting my job. It was like all in about 5 months.
Did you like have a plan or know what you were going to do? Or you're just like, I can't do this job anymore and I'll figure it out.
So behind the scenes of like, it wasn't connected at the time to my job, but I had been downloading the message for like 2 months in my morning time. Your business is ready for you. Like, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and like, my parents are entrepreneurs, my grandparents are entrepreneurs. Like, this is just what I've always wanted to be, is like build my own business from the ground up. And for a couple of months, like, I'm getting the message, like, your business is ready for you. And I kept asking the voice, like, what business? Yeah. Where is it? Like, what do I do? Your business is ready for you. Who am I going to do this with? Your business is ready for you. What kind of business is it? Your business is ready for you. And like that's all it would ever say. Exactly.
Tell me.
What do you want me to do with this? And finally, the day came where like, I'm going to quit my job. And it was the best, most liberating feeling thought I think I had ever had. And Abraham had taught me that like when a thought feels really good, that's your inner being, like agreeing loud and clear with you. And so I acted on it, like quit my job. And I knew in the back of my mind, your business is ready for you. And so my plan at the time, like I had a pretty nice kiss my ass fund built up, AKA savings account. And I thought, you know, I'm going to live on my savings for a year. I'm going to travel. I'm going to say yes to whatever life brings me. If it feels good and it's coming at me, I'm going to say yes. And so you think about like very Sagittarius Saturn return, like I'm going to travel. I'm going to have adventures. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to see where the wind blows me. Exactly. So that was my plan, my loose definition of a plan. And I just thought, my business is ready for me and maybe that'll be a thing. Like maybe my business will find me. And if in a year I don't have anything going, then I can always just get a job. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. And so it was like a couple weeks after that, my friend who had gotten laid off from that same software company like 2 months before, she calls me up and she's like, hey, so I'm going to go to Japan and one other country. Do you want to come with me? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Wow. And so she came to my house the next day and we bought plane tickets to Japan and Thailand and on back home. And it was like 4 days later that we left.
Wow.
And so it was like 2 days after Christmas, we left and go to Japan, go to Thailand. We were gone for like 2.5 weeks, but that was, we got there like 2 days before New Year's. And so I celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's morning on a beach in Japan, thinking like, what is my life? Like, what is going on here? This is like so far off plan, but feels really good. Abraham, I'm going to trust that you know what you're talking about. And that was the beginning of basically the lifestyle I still live today, where I download from my higher self, what do you want me to do? And I do it. And I trust that those leaps put me in the right place at the right time. That's still very much like what I practice and what I preach is all about how to jump before you're ready, before you have all the information, before, you know, the plan has revealed itself, like make yourself available, create the open space so that whatever it is has room to come into your life. Because it was 5 months after I quit my job that my cousin called and was like, hey, so here's what I'm thinking. I want to open a grocery store in our hometown. Is that something you'd be interested in? And every cell in my body went hell fucking yes. Cool. And it was like 10 months later, we opened our grocery store. That brought me back to Kansas. Not anymore, but I did.
It's crazy.
I did for a while. But yeah, that was my business, was opening a hometown grocery store, an independently owned and operated grocery store in my hometown with my first cousin. We bought a building. We remodeled it for 8 months. We both knew nothing about grocery. And we opened in February of 2018. And then it was about August of 2020 when I stepped back as the manager and we promoted a different manager. So I wasn't there on a daily basis. So that means I ran it for like 2.5 years. And then it was just a few months ago, it was at the end of 2023 that I sold my shares of the store back into the business. So I am no longer one of the owners of that business.
So cool.
You are just a very multifaceted person.
It's like life happens faster in my world. I don't know. I think it's just the faith to like jump.
Of course. I feel like I've lived like 10 different lives, so I understand that.
Totally.
Total trust.
Okay, can you bring us to current?
Yes. Yeah. So it was about, let's see, it was the end of 2020. So right after I transitioned out of managing the store, around that same time, I started working with a life coach. I, again, once again, downloaded, like, I want a life coach. And I asked my friend who was a life coach, like, who do you recommend? And she put me in touch with her coach. And I sat in that first session and she's like, so this is your natal chart. And I just instantly was like, what is this magic?
Oh my goodness.
And so that was August of 2020. Mm. I had never known anything about astrology other than your sun mm-hmm. sign. I didn't even know that that's what it was mm-hmm. called. I just thought I'm a Gemini mm-hmm. and that really doesn't resonate mm-hmm. with me. And now I know why, because we have a whole chart. We're all 12 of the zodiac archetypes. We're not just one mm-hmm. of them. And so her showing me that and me finding my way there in a way where I didn't try to find astrology, it found mm-hmm. me.
That's so cool.
Goes along so well with, like, I'll bet you know her, Amber. Her name is Brenda. And she does angel readings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. 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 So this was June of 2020. So like 2 months before I stepped back from the grocery store, 2 months before I found that life coach, I sat in an angel reading with Brenda and she gets to my turn and she's like tuning into my angels and she's like, oh, you're an astrologer. And I'm like,
no,
no. And she's like, yeah, like the planets and the signs and the, when they move around and they make different energies, like you read that. And I'm like, no. And she was so confused. And I was so confused because everybody else, it had been so mm-hmm. right on. And she's like, okay, well, you know, maybe that's just a miscommunication or whatever. No big deal. And then 2 months later, I'm sitting in a session where she's showing me my own natal chart, my own unique astrology, and explaining to me how we're all of this energy. And that began me diving face first into learning astrology. So I've been teaching myself for like 3.5 years, and it truly does feel like, yes, I am an astrologer, and I have been an astrologer many times, and I have a very intuitive feel when it comes to the archetypes, and learned it really quickly.
That's so crazy.
Maybe
I didn't realize, because really, I think I met you in 2020 also when we did a group reading.
That's a fact.
And I was like, you were the first person, one of the first people that I had sat with for any sort of like energetic reading with astrology. And I just felt like you knew it and you knew me and I didn't know you. And that was like really wild and cool. And that was all in the same fucking year. That's really wild to think because you didn't know anything about it. And then you did know, like, it was like, now I just remember everything. I've been reintroduced to it and now I remember. And there's my microchip to astrology and it's all downloaded into your little human computer.
And the fact that she had just told me, like, just a couple months before that, oh, you're an astrologer. And like, that didn't make any sense to me. It also, like, it definitely gave me confirmation about angels, about intuitive mm-hmm. readers, about, like, I mean, she was pulling down information that I didn't even have access mm-hmm. to yet. And yeah, when we sat together for that, I remember the group session it was, I had been studying astrology for like maybe 3 months.
That's so wild.
At that point.
You were so spot
on.
And
I gave my I gave my first reading like right around that time. And it just, like, it was at one of the, like, a Awkwardly Zen event where we just get to open up mm-hmm. and talk and like whatever's fun and everybody share what's mm-hmm. going on with them. And I shared about astrology and it turned into this spontaneous, like, well, I have a Sagittarius moon. What's that mean? I'm a Virgo rising. What's that mean? And I gave these like 8 little miniature readings just like off the top of my head. And I was like addicted from that moment. And so that was the beginning of me offering readings. So cool. And so I've been doing that for like 3.5 years. And it feels like I'm barely scratching the surface. Like, it's just so deep and vast and like oceans and oceans and oceans of insight that you can get with one natal chart. There's a lot that has already been unlocked through studying my own astrology and sitting with the people who find their way mm-hmm. to me in divine mm-hmm. timing. Like, it's almost always a reflection of what I'm personally processing at that time. My so client's cool. like, so here's what I'm thinking about. And I'm like, wow, me too. Crazy. Yeah. All right. Let's, we're both in this boat. Let's see if between the two of us, we can row ourselves to shore. And usually we can't. That. So the timing of the readings are always a blessing to
you're just in alignment. So. It's magical.
Yeah. It's a fun time. Right? Follow the fun.
I love that. Well, I feel like that's a great place for us mm-hmm. to kind of put a pause on this conversation because I'm just like, all these chills are just flowing through my body right now. Like it's so beautiful to get to hear your journey and where you've been, where it's brought you. And I just have to say, like, I'm so fucking grateful and happy that you are here, like right now today. Mm-hmm. And so grateful yeah. that the messages were coming through and you were just like, fuck it, let's just change it or not and we'll find out. And like, what a wild surrender. And it's yeah. I like, you are such a light in my journey and have helped me understand myself. So I'm excited to talk more about that here for the next episode. But yeah. I'm so fucking glad you're here and so glad that you have just followed, you know, the source energy threads to like pull you where you're supposed to go. So thank you for all your yeah. wisdom and all that you have shared vulnerably and openly. And hell yeah, do some mushrooms, guys. Safely do a little research, you know,
when it's like time,
it can really crack you open yeah. and so fucking cool. Yes. So
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your story. And everybody, we will be chatting with Carly again on the next episode and really diving more deeply into the astrology piece of Carly and all of her other magical discoveries of divination and ways to connect with yourself. So stay tuned for that.
And in the meantime, take a walk.
Go smell some spring flowers.
Listen to the yeah. message that's coming through over and over and over.
Love, 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 love.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
Thank you.
Find us on TikTok and Instagram at Waking Up the Witch. Please email us your witchy stories, ghost stories, corrections, and advice questions to wakingupthewitch@gmail.com.
Love you.
Love you.